And in our exercise of late, looking at the Spirit of God's ministry, his essential ministry, thus we are reminded always that we cannot enjoy God's essence, nature, and being, God's awesome person. We cannot know the Father without the Son. And we cannot know the Son without God, the Holy Spirit, and all God in his triunity, in his oneness, helps us to understand his awesome person. Now, so, and we've been doing that as we've turned the pages in the light of the Bible, the Spirit of God's ministry. So here in Galatians, as we've been looking at, and in chapter 5, we stopped in verse 22. Remember, you're comparing the works of the flesh, verse 19, the works of the flesh, that's your old sin nature, is against the Spirit of God. So you can't enjoy the life of God without the ministry and conflict of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is going to go, verse 17, and cause a conflict with your old nature. It's against your old nature and my old nature. So therefore, and the Spirit of God provides an awesome solution. And he does that, chapter 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit, the word fruit is in the singular, and God in his singularness. The fruit of the Spirit of God is 9 fruits, and the first one is love. And we share together to remind us, as we go through the 9 fruits, there's no end, A-N-D, between anything, no end. It goes straight, 1, 2, 3, 4. It charges, like charging forward. It goes forward to hit the target like a bullet, shooting down at the, hit the target. So therefore, what's the target, as you know? Verse 23. Meekness, temperance, against, here's your target, against such there is no law. There is no law. There's no way to have anything missing. God in his totality is enough. There's nothing to take away, change, threaten, nothing to change God. So when God is God, he's providing. And so the word, it starts off with the word love, and without repeating love, joy, peace, etc., as you turn the pages, God will just say love. Love, and that's the whole, includes the whole person of God's marvelous person. So, and we shared that to remind ourselves, because what we're looking at this point, what we want to ask ourselves, is we ask ourselves many things, and we want answers. So therefore, I read this, God is this, and you'll notice, please, while you're looking here in chapters 5, if you look, please, in verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections thereof and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Sliding over to verse 18, if we be led of the Spirit of God, we are not under the law. So the Spirit of God is going to be a complete, wonderful solution to all that we need. And therefore, so we asked ourselves then, as we read the New Testament especially, what do we find? Keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. Now, I'm supposed to abide, and there is no law. Although there is none. But in the same breath, I got to keep the commandments. Now, how do I keep the commandments? How do I do that? That's what we're asking, to lock that in. Therefore, back over to John and chapter 15 for a moment, just to remind you and myself. And John 15, remember, looking at keep my commandments, we're trying to make sure we answer that comfortably. Chapter 15, going if I can, to verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, and we know the fruit of the Spirit, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to be abiding like the branch in the tree. The branch just abides in the life of the tree. The branch enjoys the life of the tree by just abiding. But in the abiding, keep my commandments. So how does abiding and keep my commandments come together? So therefore, keeping that in mind, chapter 15, I'll go to verse chapter 14 back. Chapter 14. And you will notice in verse chapter 14, the verse 15, you, as you keep reading your New Testament, verse 15, 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. Sliding down to verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Yeah, I'm going to read the context, verse 22. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest, make yourself known, clear, plain, with understanding, will manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode, our abiding place. We'll find the human heart our home. For who? God the Father and God the Son. Sliding down verse 24. He that loveth me not, N-O-T, keepeth not, N-O-T, my sayings, and the world which you hear, is not mine. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which has sent me. So God's words, abiding, you got to be abiding. And when you're abiding, you're enjoying God's words. And when you're enjoying God's words, you're showing that you love him. You're loving God's words. So love's demands makes God's commands. Love's demands makes God's commands. The love he commands then. Now, so how are we going to do that in the light of that? So love makes possible a unique relationship to God. And always, when you keep a good, fuller understanding, God can't do anything to us, in us, or with us apart from rightness. What God does, we're wrong. Humans are sinful. They're disconnected, evil. Apart from God, there's no good. Therefore, in order for God to offer and say all the things that he does to us and for us, demands his righteousness. And the righteousness makes possible his saving grace. And you know it. If you want to just remind yourself again, simple little way, Isaiah chapter 46. And in Isaiah and chapter 46. And picking up, if I may, as you remember, verse 46, verse 12. Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted, hard-hearted, stubborn, that are far from, what are they far from? Righteousness. You can't get anything, you can't enjoy God, your Creator, apart from rightness. And without God's saving grace, there is no righteousness. So God, you can't do anything to for us unless you take care of the wrongness. That's why he goes to the cross, to pay the price for our sin. So verse 13, I bring near my righteousness. All the way to the cross, I answer the wages of sin is death, and I die. I answer the righteousness that I require. I will bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion, the cross, Calvary, etc. For Israel, my glory. God's going to do what he does in his most wonderful, wonderful way. So therefore, you know, like in Romans, without Romans 4 and all that, Abraham, how did Abraham get righteous? He believed God, and his faith is counted for righteousness. That's what God did. God took our sin in his own body on the tree. And when you believe that, you believe that. So therefore, God takes his sin, dies, pays the price for my sin, and he comes over, and he's my Savior. But when he comes over, remember, he brings with him the rightness. And his faith is counted for righteousness. So you gotta, don't lose that. God does what he does and says, awesome, wonderful, out of this world things. But you have to understand, it isn't pie in the sky. It's for real. And it cost God. It cost God his son to make that possible. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, so God, in your wonderful love, you're going to go and you made us in your image and likeness so that you could find yourself comfortably in us. You've made us to have a spirit. You made us a person so that you could enjoy your person in our person in a unique, wonderful, wonderful way. So you're going to show your glorious person, and you're going to show it in your love, in your wonderful love. So when we talk about your love, God, remember, it is not human love. The trouble is, when we use the word father, us humans think of human fathers. That's the only thing we have. The only thing we can recognize is a word and what's it related to. Us humans, fathers. No one thinks of God. Even Unitarianism is terrible, thinking about God. Oh, God, our Father. Now, in the process of God, we have to understand you're an awesome person, and we're to enjoy your awesome person as a father. And therefore, you have to help us. And therefore, we don't know your love. You say you love us. And we look at love, L-O-V-E, and we look at love from our human experience and our usage of it. That's how we do it. And God, we have to understand, we have to back off and take a whole new look at everything when we read about you, God, because you're different. So therefore, your love. So what are you going to do, God? You want to love us. You are love. You yourself are love. So what do you want us to do? You want us to what? Have a unique, amazing relationship to who he is. He wants you to enjoy his person. I love you. I want you to enjoy his person. Not your person, his person. His person, who he is now. So therefore, when we speak of God, the word love, and as used here, it has to do with the highest and best. God, what is the highest and best you could do for us? God said, I am the highest and best for you. I could give you a little highest and best here. I'm not doing that. The highest and best is who I am. That's what I'm going to give you. I love you to know God, the highest and the best. So God, here we are looking. And since the best is God yourself, and you go there, and therefore you save us, you sanctify us and set us apart, like we shared. Here's the watches, 100,000 watches, and I take this watch and I sanctify it. All these other watches are there. All the other humans are there. But this human is mine to tell time. I could, all these are trying to do whatever. This one is mine. I have saved it and sanctified it to myself. Now, having done that and keeping that in mind, and therefore I'm going to look for a change, a transformation, a wonderful change and transformation. That's what I'm going to look for, God said. I'm going to help you understand that I love you, and I want you to understand I want the very, very best for you, and that is nothing less than a awesome, gracious, God's graciousness to know him as Father. As Father. That's the highest and best. That's the highest and best. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, go with me, please, over to Romans in chapter 12. And in Romans, and in chapter 12, maybe. And keeping in mind, now, what we remember here, back to the thought again. Here's the abiding, you're abiding. Branches abiding in the vine, abiding. As it abides, what's it doing? It's having a unique relationship to the tree. The tree is providing the life, its wonderful existence way up in the air. It's a big tree. And the tree, the life of the tree, is now flowing in the branch. And the branch, all it has to do is abide. What's it doing when it's abide? It's allowing the life of the tree to flow in it. You understand? A relationship. So how do I abide? I have to behave differently. I behave differently. I'm no longer a child of the devil, a child of the system. I'm saved, set apart, sanctified. So what? I can enjoy God in a unique way. The branch can enjoy the tree. It doesn't deserve it. It doesn't merit. It never earns anything. All it does is simply abide. And abiding, therefore, it can practice the relationship. I make believe we're little branches, and we are. We're little branches, and we just abide in the tree. That's all we do. And I didn't have a relationship to the tree. The tree chose and saved me. Now the tree saved me. And now, I used to be something on the ground, but now I'm connected. And my connection means I have to abide. When I abide, it's going to change me. Because you see, I'm not on the ground anymore, dead. I'm abiding. So therefore, if you abide, keep my commandments. Show your relationship. Behave differently. You're not a dead branch anymore. You're a living one. Show life. Show your life. Whose life? Your life, God. That's what you're doing, letting God's life show itself in a unique way. You behave differently. You're a child of God. We've been doing it in 1 John. We're going to do it again today, I think, if the Lord tarries. You're truly a child of God. Then be one. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. I said, well, I don't know. I got my old nature. Yes, you do. Your old nature, I'm not interested in your old nature. Let me tell you, God, about my background and my problems, all the things about my life. Tell me, I got to tell you, God, about all these things, you know. And this happened at work. I had a tough day at work. And I come home, and my wife burned all the food. And I was real hungry. It's a tough day. But God doesn't. God already knows a tough day before you ever got home. He knew it before you were ever born. How's that? He knew it. So therefore, God, what are we going to do? I don't want to discuss your bad day. God, I want to discuss it. God said, I don't need to discuss your bad day. But God, I got to just tell you about it. And you open your Bible, 1 Corinthians 8 and that. I know all about you before you start, so don't tell me anything. There's nothing you, in fact, I could tell you a lot about what your bad day, why it was, etc. Do you want to hear all the reasons why your bad day was a bad day? Well, no. No, I don't want to hear those. No, I don't want to know those things. So go on, what are we going to do? You don't say anything. Reckon you, I got to see if it's still there. Make the Bible, allow God's word to work for you. Romans 6:11. And then I'm coming back, right? Tell, hold your finger there. And you put the two together, as we did 100 times. Romans 6:11. And in the light of Christ crucified us, took us to the cross. Therefore, 6:11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead, D-E-A-D, dead indeed, truly. Reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin. So therefore, you don't need to talk about your bad day. God knows about your bad day. God, what do I need to be mindful of, like we shared Wednesday and that kind of thing? What do we need to be mindful of? You're alive. Reckon yourself indeed dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus Christ our Lord. Reckon yourself alive. That's what you do. You had a bad day in your flesh, in the world. You live in the world. Your old nature never disappears. You've got to live with yourself till you die. Now reckon that. You've got to live with your person, who you are, till you die. So you're never going to get rid of it. So don't even, we did this 50 times, and say, well, I heard that. Practice it. Because your old nature hates what I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you. They don't want to see. You have to say it. Doesn't want to hear it. God says, reckon yourself dead. Now, I already know that. Alive unto God. All right, how am I going to do that? The branch abides in the tree, and it abides so the life of the branch, life of the tree can flow in the branch. And what do we need to do with the life of the tree flowing in the branch? We need to abide and stay attached and recognize what? A relationship, so that the sap, the life, water and life and everything, nutrients in the branch, flowing in the branch, go through the tree, and you get leaves and fruit. The leaves and fruit are the branches. The leaves and fruit are God's. Put that together. Reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin. Dead. what you now are enjoying now, after a bad day, after horrible everything, after the bad day, feeling terrible. You got a headache, a heartache, and a footache. How's that? But irregardless, that's true. But reckon yourself dead. Don't get all wrapped up in that. You want to handle it. It's part of being in your body. It's part of you being alive and saved. It's part of that. So what are you going to do? Reckon yourself alive. Alive. So that the life of God can flow. What life? You have a relationship. You're a child of God. Saved. Then exercise it. Exercise. That's true. I am a child of my Father. Humanly, I live in this body. But God has saved me, and he crucified us so that I have a new relationship to God. And I have, since I'm made, us humans are made for eternity, not like a squirrel or something. We're made for eternity. So that's why we got a problem with death, because we know death doesn't end it. That's why we have all religion. Why do we have to have religion? Because we got a problem with death. Got to have something. So, therefore, Romans 12. And you know, you can put it together for me. You already know it better than I do. Romans chapter 12. And in the light of going from chapter 6, all the jump over 1, 2, 3, 4, chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, most logical, most common sense thing to do, reasonable service. And look to God. Be a living sacrifice. Be a living branch. Be an abiding branch, so the life you can enjoy in your deadness of old your old nature, you enjoy at the same time a wonderful relationship to God. And you abide in that relationship, and that relationship is to be outworked in a most wonderful way. You want a dead branch. You're supposed to be, you want a dead sacrifice. You're a living sacrifice. One sacrifice, Christ on the cross, is enough to answer it all. So we are left to show the sacrifice by being living sacrifices, not dead ones, not a pile of dead people. No, a pile of living people to prove what? Your resurrected life. We're living sacrifices, demonstrating your resurrected life. Therefore, verse 2, be not conformed to this world system. And I got to have a special pair of pants that have a big hole in the bottom of them. I got to wear it. Everyone's wearing them, so I got to get one. I got to be this, I got to be that. No. As simply as possible, be you. And then enjoy God. The more you try to be something other than you are, the less you enjoy God. Do you understand that? The more you try to make believe and fantasize in your mind, you're something else. That's why sexual, all that stuff going on, it's crazy. And years ago, we were into all of this, with Mayo Clinic and John Hopkins and all of them, we were big time getting all information. And all of them said, you're going to have mental problems. You can't destroy your system and expect it and expect good health. You just can't do that. There's no way for a girl to become a man, for a man to become a girl. It just ain't going to happen. It'd be like me becoming a tomato. I can hold my I could have tomato in my bedroom and the tomato next to me, and instead of Jeanette, put the tomato there, you know, tomato. No, it isn't about that. No, you have to be what you are. Be not conformed to this world system and let God be transformed. Be transformed, a metamorphosis like the butterfly, cocoon and butterfly. And you have to go through the process. You're going through the process. You get saved, set apart for God to do a wonderful thing in your life. Be not conformed, verse 2, to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why, that purpose you may prove, put to the test, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, that you may be able to do it. That's what you want. So you're going to be different.
That's right.
That's right. You already got what you, we already are what we are. We have to understand we're going to be different. We aren't going to be different by trying to fix. God doesn't want to fix you. He wants to save you. He isn't trying to fix you. You know, fix my life. And I remember Norman, I think it was Norman Vincent Peale. I told you that. You know, I had a lot of opportunities for some strange reason. I think I told all these things. And just down the street from Church of the Open Door, where J. Vernon McGee was, is the Methodist Church up in L.A., and up in L.A. there. And I was interested in lots of trying to put pieces together. And I knew Norman Vincent Peale. And we sat on the steps. Here's all the people passing by of the Methodist Church talking. That's how I met Vincent Peale. We had a long chit-chat sitting on the steps. And the power of positive thinking, remember it? The power of positive thinking. It's a wonderful thought. Wonderful thought. You got the big balloon with all the your old nature, with all these different things. And what do? Here's all that a big balloon with all kinds of things coming out of it. And what do? Well, we work at things. So we push this part of the balloon in that we're working on. You ready? We're going to push this part of the balloon in, and we cut it down. Yeah. But it popped out over here. It popped out over here. So then we go over here and we push this part of the balloon down, and we got rid of that. Oh, no, it popped up over here. You see, you got to stick a pin in that balloon. That's what you got to do. God crucified it. You can't fix it. All you do is maneuver it. And I have changed. I've changed my life. I do this now. Good for you. There's nothing wrong. That's a good thing. I stop this and do that. That's very good. But that doesn't save you. It doesn't change you. You're still the same. So God, we got to reckon ourselves dead, and you're going to go and do a wonderful thing and bring us into a saving, safe knowledge of who you are in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So having said that and keeping that in mind in the light of our old sin nature and having that, so therefore, God, what's the key to a key? What do we need to do in the light of this? Keep my commandments. What do you want me to do, God? What's your commandment? 1 John chapter 3. And in 1 John and in chapter 3, chapter 3, over in verse 21 again, if I may. What are we going to do, God? One of the wonderful key to understanding all of this is you need to be God. Is there any question without doing it? Is there any question that God loves every human being? He died for them. Can't ask for more than that. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, does God love you less than when he died for you? No. Is God loving you? Yes. That's the truth. We could all say we'd nod our head, some of us, we'd nod our head, no, God loves us. Uh-huh. Now, how do you know he's loving you? How do you know he's loving you? You don't feel it. You can't smell it. You can't. There's no way. So God, how do we know you're loving us? How do we know that? God, so what's a wonderful bit of truth about it? But God, we're really being loved. Now, how am I going to exercise? I'm going to be, God, you're loving me, loving us, and we're going to love you. We're going to receive that love. Receive that love. What's it do when I receive that love? Thank you for loving us. And what am I going to do? I want to be loved. And God is loving us to bring us to himself in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So God, I need to be loving you. That's right. You need to be loving me in a most wonderful way. Over to Romans in chapter 8. Let me finish that. I didn't mean to go that fast. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments. Say, why are you going to get it? Because you keep his commandments. What's his commandment? Love me. See? No. I ask you to love me. Want me. Not you. You want what I have for you. I created you, made you to enjoy my awesome person. So therefore, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So we aren't a dead branch in the ground. We're abiding. And we're letting God's word, we're changing. We don't think the same. We don't feel the same. We don't love the same. We're just changing. That's right, because we're saved. How many believers enjoy being saved? Ask that question. Even understand being saved apart from a ticket to heaven. They don't. How do you know that? Look at them, not you guys. Look at the people around. Go look around the world. See me, show me. The problem isn't God's. The problem is ours. So therefore, verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him abiding the branch, the tree. Without me you can do nothing, John 15:5. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. And what's the Spirit of God's ministry? To provide the fruit of the Spirit of God. That's his ministry. To what? To bring the relationship, and help you to have leaves. Leaves and fruit. The branch to have leaves and fruit. That's what he wants. That's his job. Thank you. That's his job, to do it. It's a wonderful thing. That's love, but just no more. We used to, like they'll say in Peter and that, I used to do what you guys do in saying to his friends and people around him, you don't do like you used to do with us. No, I don't do like I used to do with us. I've changed. God saved me. And I don't do that anymore. No. So therefore, in the light of that, over to Romans in chapter 8. Then in Romans in chapter 8, picking up, if I may, so you see it. God, you love us, and the way to us for us to enjoy the relationship is to be abiding, to love what you want and what you're doing, to love it. We're not being loved for you to, for us to know you as your children. You're our Father. Father, I want to know you as a son, as a child of God. I want to know you. And that's the Spirit of God's wonderful, wonderful ministry. Now, so Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, that isn't God loving you or me. That's you loving God. But if you don't love God and you don't enjoy that love, don't practice that love, don't abide in that love, then all things work together for good is too vague. It doesn't mean much. You can read it. Doesn't mean much. But when I'm loving God's love, all that he wants, I want the leaves and the fruit. I want you to do what you need to do. Your word, your will, your way, your work, your workmanship. I want that outworked in my life. God, thank you. Thank you. If you're loving, all things work together for good. All things work together for good. Ah, what's the good? Verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to mark out ahead of time, to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, that you'd be changed, that you'd be changed. Verse 29, foreknown, that God did predestinate to be conformed, to be changed like something else. Be like him. And that's the motivation. Why? Because we love him. But if you don't, aren't loving it, you're not going to see that. It won't mean much to you. You have to be loved and be loving. I love being loved. I don't want to be unloved. You don't want to be unloved. I don't want to be unloved. You see? Yeah, do it again so you see it. Over again, over to Romans. No. Yes, well, you're in Romans 8. What can I say? Romans 8. Verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. We live in the world, the headaches and our old sin nature, and we got all the problems just being here in our body. But, 37, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. God's loving us through it. We're loving him, all things work together for good. He's loving us to make it work out good. He loves us. He loves us. He's working everything out. Therefore, we love him because he's working all things together for good to be what? They enjoy the life of the tree. That's what we're going to do. So, in the light of that, 1 Timothy. And Paul on his deathbed, ultimately there, in the process, he's going to go. And in 2 Timothy, I should say, 2 Timothy, no, I don't, 2 Timothy, forget that one. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy, I'm going to get it, hang on. 1 Timothy, and chapter 4, and verse 8. 1 Timothy 4, and in verse 8. I did that. I'm going to do it. 1 Timothy 4, and in verse 8. And he therefore that, I did it right, my little mind. I hate getting old and deteriorating. It just does. That's terrible. I have to remember what Jeanette's name is. Who are you? What can I tell you? Chapter 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 8, with authority. And 2 Timothy, and chapter 4, and in verse 8, as you know, Paul says he kept the faith and everything. Verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that are loving his appearing. They're looking for it. That's the hope. That's what we're looking at in the Sunday morning. Purifying hope. You're looking for what? To be like him. You're already in the tree. What are you looking for? To stay attached? And what for? So not only the leaves, the fruit. And verse John chapter 15, it is my Father's delight that you bear much fruit. Much fruit. I want your little old branch to be full of fruit. To what? To enjoy. What is the fruit? The fruit is the life of God. To enjoy the life of God. I want your little old branch to enjoy the life of the God, the life of the branch. That's what I want. Now, having said that, and therefore, Philippians, and in Philippians, if I can, and picking up in chapter 2, as you would know, all these things. What are you going to do? They'll put it together. What are you going to do? Since you're going to abide and you're going to behave differently because you're a child of God, you don't live like you used to. Why? Because you're in the branch. The branch is in the tree. You don't live like that. You don't think like that. You don't speak like that. You change. You're changing. So therefore, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. What are you going to say, Paul? You're in prison. What are you saying to us in Philippi? Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work intensely. It's a little word, intensive, plus the word verb to work. Intensely, with pain, labor, work at it. Make a little effort. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Because, verse 13, it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's why. You stay attached and abide and understand your relationship. Keep my word. Keep my commandments. It's important. So I don't have no. You either. If you're in that branch, act like you're in the branch. Act like you're abiding. Enjoy better. Underline that. Enjoy abiding in the branch, and you'll be quite comfortable. You're different. Oh, I don't want to be different. Then you got a problem. That's why a lot of people will never get to heaven. Because they don't want to change. They don't want to think about God. They don't want to know God. And God will keep and accommodate them. But the trouble is in the other side of death, you can only know God. You can never get rid of God. And you can never change your condition. That's why I'd get saved pretty fast. That's what I do. I wouldn't mess around. No, sir. Messing around's, no, sir. I don't want to be religious. I don't want to whatever. Anyway, I gotta stop. Hope you got a little bit. Thank you for that, your grace, patience. And we didn't get very far, but I'm just saying it over and over. So when you're in bed tonight sleeping, it'll come back to you and it'll begin to catch on. And when you go to work, when you go to school, when you have the problems, you're going to practice dead to sin and alive to God, abiding in the branch, no matter what the weather, no matter what the weather. Yeah. Wow. Anyway, thank you.